With you, we're going to be back at the very back of your Bible, and we're going to be looking tonight in Revelation chapter 4, the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation, and we will be looking here in the fourth chapter. And the book of Revelation starts out with the Apostle John laying there in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And though he was imprisoned, though they were seeking to keep him away from the masses and keep him away from any fellowship he might have been able to have, they could not keep the Lord away from him. Amen. Hey friend, I'm glad tonight I've got a God that it don't matter if they put me down at the county jail. It doesn't matter if they stick me down in solitary confinement. Hey, they can put you in a straitjacket and lock you up in a room without windows and without a padded or with padded walls. And yet Jesus can still get to you there. Amen. And that was John there on the Isle of Patmos, all alone, seemed to be forsaken by everyone, including other believers. And yet there on that island, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. And John was called into the very presence of the true and living God, into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As a matter of fact, there through chapter 2 and through chapter 3, John was guided, I believe, through the church age. I believe he saw the year 500 and he was able to see some of those events that took place during the dark ages. He was allowed to see as the King James Bible came about there in 1611, and he was able to see the very day and age that you and I are living in here in January 2017. But by the time we come here to Revelation chapter 4, John has finished up with seeing the church age. He's finished up with seeing these seven churches, and he is now called into the very presence of the King. He's called to the very throne room of the Most High God. And I want to show you very quickly just some of the things that John saw as he entered into that place. Now the Bible tells us here in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you did for us this morning. Lord, what a blessing, what a privilege it is. Lord, I'm unworthy and I'm undeserving of your salvation. I'm undeserving, Father, of any of your grace that you've shown toward me. And Lord, how is it that somebody as low and as undeserving as I should have the privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit and preach Sunday after Sunday? Lord, what a blessing it is for somebody just as low as I to be able to baptize my child and baptize my niece this morning. Lord, I just want to tell you thank you. I just want to praise you this evening, Father, that you've allowed me to serve you in this place. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless us tonight. Lord, draw us into your presence just as John was drawn into your presence in that day. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, may we go out of here rejoicing and praising your name for the great work that you'll do here in our midst. And Lord, we won't fail to thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. You know, the truth is that I have spent a great deal of my life studying this King James Bible. Now, I realize full well I've not lived as long as some of you have lived. I've not had as long to study it as some of you have had to study it. And yet when I look across my short life, these 32 years that God has given me, almost 33 here in just a little bit, and when I think about these years that the good Lord has given me, I've been able and I've been privileged to go to Bible college. I've been privileged to be raised in a home where my daddy taught me the Word of God and taught me the importance of reading and studying the Scriptures. And I've had an opportunity to learn a few things about that Bible that I'm thankful by the grace of God he's seen fit to show unto me. But can I be honest with you tonight? I don't know nearly all about that Bible that I ought to know. I don't know nearly as much about my God and about His Word as I ought to know after the years that I've been saved, after the opportunities I've had to study that book. And really the truth of the matter is that if we spent every day and every instant of our life studying that Bible, we would never truly know it all. We would never understand it all. I've heard it said that the Bible, that the Bible is a well that never runs dry. The Bible is you can keep digging and you can keep going into it and yet never exhaust its riches. Old Sam Jones, the great Methodist preacher of old, he said of the Bible, he said, if I understood everything that was in that book, I would know it was written by one that wasn't any smarter than I am. Can I say to you tonight, I'm thankful for all that God's shown me in the Bible, but I'm just as thankful for the things I don't know too. Amen. And yet we've come here to this verse. We've come here to this chapter, here in Revelation chapter 4. And we are shown some things regarding heaven. We are shown some things regarding the very presence and the very place of our God here in this chapter that not one of us is worthy to be able to read. And the Bible tells us, sure enough, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible said, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The truth is, I'll never understand it all until I get over there. I couldn't possibly know everything about heaven because there are some things that have been hidden from us. But tonight, I want to simply take the Word of God and I want to preach to you on the subject of some things I know will be in heaven. Some things I know will be in heaven. Now, like I told you before, I don't know everything. And I'm sure there are some things waiting for us over there that will blow our mind. I mean, there's going to be some things over there that are going to cause us to rejoice and glorify the God in a way we couldn't even comprehend in this earthly body. But as I read this text and as I see what John saw all those many years ago, it shows me some things tonight that are waiting for us on the other side. It shows us some things that we can know will be present in heaven. Now, can I say first of all this evening that I know the Lord will be in heaven? Now, I know that kind of sounds like it goes without saying. And I know some of you say, preacher, that's pretty simplistic. Obviously, everyone knows the Lord is going to be in heaven. And yet, can I say to you tonight, friend, what an awful place heaven would be if Jesus wasn't there. Can I say to you, I don't care how good the cherubim and the seraphim are. I don't care how good the angels might appear. And I don't care how good it would be to see my dead loved ones that have already gone on. It wouldn't be worth one iota if Jesus wasn't present in that place. I don't care if we could rejoice with one another for all of eternity. Eternity would be hell if Jesus wasn't part of it. I'm glad to say tonight that I know when we get home to heaven that Jesus will be there. Now if you look there with me in verse number two, old John got called up there to the third heaven in verse 2. He said, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now I tell you, friend, when I read that one,
it tells me something. That means you're not going to be on the throne. And that means I'm not going to be on the throne. That means Muhammad ain't going to be on the throne. And Allah isn't going to be on the throne. That tells me tonight that Buddha, he ain't going to be on the throne. And listen, all the gods of this world and the kings and the counselors of this earth, they're not going to be on the throne. But when we get home to heaven, can I say to you, friend, John looked up at that throne and he said, I saw one sitting on the throne. You say, who is that one? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 3 with me, if you would. In verse 3, he said, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardon stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now can I say to you tonight, friend, I don't understand all that that says. And my mind can't fully comprehend. I don't believe John's mind could fully comprehend all that he was saying. But I just want to go ahead and say tonight that I believe what John was trying to get at. I believe what we need to get a hold of in this passage is that Jesus is going to be beautiful to behold. Hey, friend, he's going to be something to look upon when we see him in that place. I'm glad I can say tonight that the Lord will be there. Hey, over here in chapter 2 and verse number 1. Chapter 5 and verse number 1 rather. The Bible said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. You see that book there? Now that book doesn't look like much, but look what the next verse said. And I saw a strong angel. Now you know what an angel can do. An angel in that Bible could slay 185,000 soldiers in one night. That's a pretty powerful being. An angel could stand up to the devil. An angel could be able to fight the Lord's battles and deliver God's people time and time and time again. And this Bible didn't say it was any old angel, but it said here a strong angel rose up there. And that strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now we're about to get somewhere good. Y'all bear with me. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Whew, glory to God for that. He said, don't worry about it, buddy. Hey, don't get upset. That book's going to get open. You just hang on for just a minute. This is just a little formality. He said, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And before too long, you know what those cherubim and those seraphim are saying? You know what those angels up there in glory are saying? They're crying out at the top of their lungs, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know what John saw when he got up there to glory? I'll tell you the very first thing he saw his Savior. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you tonight, friend, the greatest part of heaven, the greatest thing about eternity is going to be the fact that the Lord is there. Now, friend, you say, what are some things that I know will be in heaven? Well, I know, first of all, that the Lord will be in heaven. But I want to say, secondly, tonight, I know many people who will be in heaven as well. Now you still got your Bible there. Look in chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now I fully realize tonight that there's only 24 elders mentioned in that verse. I know that. And yet, I'll tell you something, I know those 24 elders, those are human beings that have departed and gone on home to heaven. You say, well, how do you know? Well, one reason I know is because in the next few verses, He describes the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims praising God up there. And so this group that he's talking about right here, these 24 elders, those have got to be people. Those got to be people just like you and me. And not only that, but these are some people that have some crowns on their head. There's some people that have served the Lord with their life. There's some people that have earned some reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And they're gathered around the throne, worshiping the Lord there in the heavens. Now, can I tell you something? That makes me rejoice, because it's good enough to know that the Lord's there. It's good enough to know that when I get there, I'll see Him face to face. I'll look upon Him whom they pierced. I'll see Him and look Him in the eye and gaze upon the One that saved my soul. And I want to say what a joy it's going to be to know some people there too. Amen. Can I say to you, friend, if this church, if the rapture don't come real soon, some of us are going to go by way of death. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, I know some of the older ones, but us younger ones in here, we're going to go up in the rapture. We got a lot of time. Can I make one thing real clear? You ain't guaranteed to make it home tonight. You ain't guaranteed to take your next breath sitting here in this church service. And the truth is that any of us, at any moment, we can make that journey over there. And yet I'm glad tonight that when I stand over the coffin, when I stand there in the funeral home or there in the church and I gaze down upon that old body, that old empty vessel, I'm glad I can say tonight, it ain't goodbye, it's I'll see you again. I'm glad tonight, if this is the last time we're able to say hello in this life, if it's the last time we're able to say goodbye in this place, praise God, we're going to see each other over there on the other side. I'm glad there's going to be some people I know there too. You know, Brother Denver, I know you know him. Think about a lot of times I think about old Brother Lawrence Ford. I tell you, he was an encourager to me. He was a blessing to me the whole time I was coming up and growing as a preacher. I remember early on when God called me to preach, I didn't really have many opportunities, didn't really have many places I could go to do it. But he'd call me out there to Oak Ridge to come down and preach, no matter how bad a job I did. I think about him over the years. He'd pray for me. He'd let me know he was praying for me. I'd get to talking to him and he'd get to praying with me, and he'd tell me somewhere where I was wrong. He'd tell me if I was doing something right. He'd be nice and honest with me and help me and encourage me as a preacher. And then I got the news years ago. He'd been down in Florida preaching a meeting down there, preaching in a revival. And one night, laying there in the bed, he took his final breath. He expired as far as this world was concerned. And yet, can I say, friend, what a joy it was as I walked through that line and as I gazed down into that coffin. What a privilege and what a blessing it was to know this ain't the end. I'll see him again. I'm going to have more conversations with him. I'm going to be able to stir him up, and he'll stir me up as we gather around the throne of God. I tell you something tonight, friend. I think about old Brother Don Lawson right there. You know, Don, he's been gone now. It's over a year now. And I miss him even before his life was gone. He wasn't able to be here much with us, was he? That sickness, that cancer got him down. But I can still picture him right here, sitting here in that second pew as the singing was going on, as the preaching was going on, lifting up that hand, saying, "Amen, preacher." He'd encourage me. I'd get down there after the service. He'd show me that Bible there, and he'd show me, I wrote down where you preached here. And he said, "I took notes where you preached over there." And I tell you, friend, standing there down the road a little ways, preaching at his funeral that night, I tell you, sometimes the thought will come across your heart and the thought will come across your mind. I hate that we're having to go through this. I hate that his family's having to go through this. I hate to have to say goodbye. But can I say, about the time that thought starts to come across the mind, for a child of God, what a privilege it is to remember we'll see one another again. I tell you, friend, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the saints of God. I'm looking forward to seeing some family members I've got over there. I'm looking forward to seeing some preachers that have gone over there. I'm looking forward to seeing the saints who have gone that way. I want to say, thank God, I know some things about heaven. I know some people who will be there. I know the Lord's going to be there. I know some people who are going to be there. But I know the host of heaven is going to be there. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, you still got your Bible there with you. Look down about verse number 6 with me if you would. In verse 6, the Bible said, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Verse 7, he gets describing a very strange looking creature. He says, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. As he describes those beasts, can I go ahead and tell you, he ain't talking about humans there. He ain't talking about the departed saints there. No, he's talking about that heavenly host, those heavenly creatures. And you know what those creatures are doing? Right now, while we're having church down here, I'll tell you what they're doing up there. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I tell you what, friend, I don't know if this does anything for you or not, but I look forward to getting up there in that throne room. I look forward to that day where I take my final breath. I look forward to that day, friend, where that heart stops to beating. But can I say, I look even more forward to hearing that voice of the archangel and trump of God. I look forward to hearing my name called out by the Lord Himself and going on to meet Him without ever having to go through death. And I kind of think, I don't know how it'll all go, but I kind of think when I get over there and I get up in that throne room like John, and I see the Lord sitting high and holy and lifted up on the throne, I tell you what beautiful music it's going to be to hear the voices of those cherubim, to hear the perfected voices of those seraphim, to hear the call of those angels, and those angelic beings, I should say, to hear them cry out and praise the name of the living God. I tell you, friend, as we look here in our text, we see that there's a back and forth that goes on between us, between the humans that have been saved, and between those angelic, those heavenly creatures who have been there with the Lord the whole time. See, the truth is that as those angelic beings cry out, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, the Bible said the others, that's you and I, friend, we cry out and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I tell you, friend, I'm looking forward to seeing some things over there. You say, what's going to be in heaven? Well, the Lord's going to be there. I know some people are going to be there. I know that heavenly host is going to be there. But can I say to you something else tonight? I'm about done. I know this book is going to be there. Now, I know y'all think that's silly. At least some of you probably do. I know plenty of the scholars think I'm silly. They'd say, I'm uneducated. I'm an old, you know, a Bible Belt hillbilly that just doesn't know any better. Problem is, I've read all their books. I've sat through their classes. I've heard their little Greek lessons and things like Greek and Hebrew and everything try to disprove this King James Bible. I've heard it all. You say, what do you believe? I still believe every word of this book. Yes. And I don't know, you can disagree with me if you want to, but I'm just kind of the opinion when we get up there, I'm going to have me a copy of an old black back 1611 King James Bible waiting on me up there on the other side. Say, preacher, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. Well, I want you to notice something. There's some books there. You got chapter 5 there? Revelation chapter 5 verse 1. I've read it to you once before, but I want to read it to you from another angle here. Verse 1 of chapter 5, John said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a what? A what? Hey, some of the rest of y'all get in here and help us out tonight. What did he see? A book. Now, you say, is that book the Bible? I don't know. But you know what that tells me? That tells me there's some books up there in glory. As a matter of fact, a little while later, right here in this very same book of the Bible, right there in Revelation chapter 20, he said, and I saw the books, and there was a book open, and in it, in that book was the book of life. Amen. And I tell you what, friend, if your name ain't written in that book of life, you got a world of hurt coming your way. Amen. But I'm telling you something, that Bible says there's books. There's books up there in glory. There's books up there in heaven. You say, well, preacher, do you really believe the Bible's going to be there? Oh, I certainly do. You see, over there in Psalm 119, the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. And I tell you, friend, one of these days, this old body is going to pass away. It's going to have to become a new body, fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. One of these days, the walls of this church and the very foundation will melt as a fervent heat. One of these days, the sun will go black and the moon will turn to blood, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the very skies shall be wiped away as with a scroll. And yet, can I tell you what this book will do? Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
You say, what am I going to find when I get to heaven? Well, friend, the Lord's going to be there. There's some people going to be there. There's a heavenly host going to be over there. And this bold Bible, this book of God, is going to be there. But can I tell you one last thing and I'll be done? We're going to get ready to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. I don't know everything there is to know about heaven. I don't know everything there is to know about its glories. But I do know something that's going to be there. You say, what is it, preacher? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior, you're going to be there too. So I want to get across to you tonight, friend, that when John got up there to glory, so I'd never thought about this much before, but a few years ago I was listening to Brother Steve Dagenhart, great preacher if you've ever heard him, over in North Carolina. And Brother Steve Dagenhart was preaching, and he got to preaching there in Revelation 19 about the Lord coming back on that white horse at the Battle of Armageddon. And when he got to preaching it, he got to talking about that host riding on white horses behind him. Anybody in here know who that is? That's me. That's you if you're saved. We're coming back with him. Amen.
Amen.
Old Brother Steve Dagenhart brought across this thought and it blew my mind, Brother Denver. I mean, it changed the way I read that passage. He said, do you realize that when John got called ahead in history and he saw the Lord coming back there at that battle riding on that white horse, he said, do you just kind of imagine for just a moment, John saw himself riding behind him. Can I say to you, friend, that does something for me. That might not help you a bit tonight, but that does something for this preacher. To know, not to have to hope, not to just wish or to just wonder, but to K-N-O-W, to know that heaven is my home, makes all the difference in the world. You say, preacher, why do you know? Well, I know. Because my Redeemer lives. And I know that in the last day, I tell you, I shall stand and I shall see Him. I shall behold His face. I'm going to gaze upon Him in His very righteousness. I tell you, friend, you say, what's going to be in heaven? Well, there's going to be a lot of things. There's going to be some things I hadn't even mentioned tonight. There's going to be some things that in this old earthly body, with this old earthly mind, we couldn't possibly even comprehend. But I do know a few things. I know tonight that Jesus will be there. I know tonight that many of my loved ones are going to be there. I know tonight that those cherubim and those seraphim and those angelic beings, they will be there. I know tonight that the very Bible I preach to you from will be there. But I want to say thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, so that I can know I will be there. Maybe you sit here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I know I'm a member of this church. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I've been coming here a long time, but preacher, I don't know that I'll be there. I know Jesus will be there, and I know some of my loved ones are there. And I know that Bible's going to be there. But preacher, if I'm being truly honest, I have doubts about whether I'll be there. Can we have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight? I've done this here lately, but we don't do this all the time, but I believe it's fitting tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, nobody looking around, nobody watching anybody else, just you and the Lord for this time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you. Now let me ask you tonight, would you raise that hand? I'm not going to think any different of you. I'm certainly not going to think ill of you, and I'm not going to come and harass you, but I want to know so I can pray for you. Would you say maybe tonight, preacher, I have my doubts as to whether heaven will be my home. I have my doubts as to whether or not I will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you just lift up that hand so I can pray for you? That's all I desire. I just want to pray for you tonight. Would you raise that hand and say, I need to get this thing settled. Preacher, pray for me that I would get the assurance of my salvation, that I would have an assurance of a heavenly home. Would you raise that hand tonight? Thank you. Thank you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Some have lifted their hands. Some have been honest enough to say, I've had some doubts. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with having a doubt every now and then, as long as you get it taken care of. Maybe you need to come tonight. Maybe you just need to get alone with the Lord. Maybe, hey, if you want me to, I'll take the Bible. I'll kneel down beside you. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. The Lord will help you out and get you that assurance. But I ask that you would come, that you'd be willing to come and take that thing up with the Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. Thank you for all you've done in our church family today. And I just pray now, Lord, that you do a work in our midst tonight. Use this time of invitation to glorify yourself and to draw us unto you. And Lord, if there be anyone gathered here who has a doubt in their mind or a doubt in their heart, I pray they'd get it settled tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it, and for His sake. Amen and amen.